Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research. Sharon, what's up?
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. Oh, I like all your hippie beads.
Yeah, you like my hippie beads?
You look like you just stepped off an ashram.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually, some days I'm like, man, I would really love to just like drop everything and just go live in an ashram right now, you know, for a few years. Like, just
Me too.
stop all the worldly stuff and just like you go and meditate and do breath work and work and live in an ashram every day, you know?
So I spent 2 months in India and it was awesome, but it wasn't nearly enough.
Yeah.
And I would love to go back and do that for 2 years myself. So
I actually, in this was probably around 2008 maybe, I had this like strong desire, like just to go to the mountains or go live in an ashram somewhere and just go, you know, live completely off grid and completely away from society. And I almost did it, but I had this, you know, that strong intuition, this voice inside that said, nope, that's not your path. Like, that's not for you right now. You need to be a part of this world, a part of this society. You've got work to do in different ways. Little did I know at that time, you know, it was part of my path to raise a family and get married and have kids. And I'm glad that I listened to that and stayed and said, okay, nope. As much as I am desiring to go do this and just be away from all this crazy society stuff, that inner voice was just like, nope, not for you, not for you. So it's funny because as I really dive deeper into like Yogananda's teachings and Sri Yukteswar and Lahiri Mahasaya, a lot of these great Indian sages and rishis over the years, you know, that's one of the things that they teach is, look, it's easy to go completely away from society and drop all responsibilities and go meditate for hours a day in a cave or in an ashram. Like, that's easy, you know, but that's not what the world needs. What the world needs is for you to have a family and to be a part of society and learn to find God and to have love in your heart and, you know, to be free, to be liberated and free from material attachments in the material world, in the thick of it all.
Yep, it's easy to be a monk on the hilltop, not so easy in society. That's
right. So I'm still learning how to be a monk in the society that we live in, right? With a family and kids and businesses and clients and all the stuff that we do. That's not easy, that's for sure.
No, attachment is not an easy one to let go of, especially with family and kids and, you know, businesses. It's I feel that, you know, as I'm opening up my new clinic, there's part of me that's just, okay, I feel that faith and trust and it's just anchored inside. But, you know, then there's all the external, oh my God, what is going on? How am I going to do this?
Right. So you have a new, how's your new clinic coming?
We're waiting any day on our permits. I just saw my designs from my designer for the first time. So it's going to be gorgeous and phenomenal and amazing. And, you know, it's a huge, I'm, you know, I have a super busy practice now and everything is just smooth and, but I like to shake things up. So it, you know, we're opening up a 7,000 square foot clinic.
Nice. So. That's exciting.
It is. It's a little insane because my life is pretty peaceful now and it's going to get hectic.
So you want less peace in your life? Is that what you're saying?
No, I want to help more people, right? Yeah. I mean, when I remember being at a lecture, gosh, it was like 3-4 years ago and we were talking about this. It was just when they were rolling out the vaccines and we were talking about like this tsunami that's heading our way of sick people. And I thought, you know, I got to be on the ground. I got to be helping and in the trenches. And so that coupled with my son also, being a doctor and wanting to do something with him. So it was a couple of things that kind of converged, and it's time, and so here we
Yeah, that's
are.
exciting. It's beautiful. So, for those who don't know, we were talking with my friend Dr. Sharon Steels, who is a renowned naturopathic physician. You've been he primarily helping women for what, the last couple decades, yeah?
Well, actually, so I've been practicing for 23 years, and I actually initially went to school to be a pediatrician. And when I opened up my clinic, I had two significant patients that came in. One was a elderly, well, I guess not that elderly. Back then I thought he was elderly. Now he was only in his late 60s, so not that elderly. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And he saw my sign and he came in to me and said, they've given me a couple of months to live and I need your help. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I had never seen a cancer patient while I was in my medical training. It just wasn't something I thought I was going to be doing. But here I had this live man and his wife in front of me seeking help. And so I just took a deep breath because I feel like the universe, God sends you what you need. And I was honest with them. I said, look, I've never treated cancer before, but I have a set of philosophies of how the body works and how the body heals. And I'm happy to do my best, but I make you no promises. Not that we should ever make promises, because ultimately we're not totally in control of the outcomes of how people heal. And I started to work with him. And it was funny, the first appointment, we had like an hour discussion about why margarine wasn't healthy. And I thought, oh gosh, this is like really an uphill. They are not aware of anything that's natural. But they were committed and they listened and they're like, we're gonna do what you say. And long story short, his cancer healed and he got to walk his daughter down the aisle. He lived another 10 years cancer-free. He died of a cardiac issue. It was unrelated to the cancer. And he brought me to his church, and they celebrated me. And so all of a sudden, it was a very large Pentecostal congregation. And so all of a sudden, my office became a naturopathic oncology office. And so I spent a decade in that practice focusing really on oncology and autoimmune disease. And then at the same time, a woman came to me also saying, with Suzanne Summers' book, saying, I want to do this bioidentical hormone thing that she's doing. And she was using hormones while she had breast cancer, which is something I utilize all the time with patients. And I was kind of taken aback. I thought, I know Suzanne Summers because I used to watch her on TV in Three's Company. And I'm not sure what she's doing writing medical books, but I have an open mind. And I said, give me the book, I'll read it. And I read it and I thought, wow. She does know what she's talking about. She's going to the right doctors and learning a lot and doing a good service. And so I helped this woman with hormones. I added in what I knew as from my European training and my naturopathic training. And she, her life significantly improved. Her husband sent me flowers and she just started spreading the word that bioidentical hormones were the thing. And so that's how I got really involved. So it's funny, I went to school for something totally different, and then the universe just kind of handed me these two tracks. And so that is what I focused on, among other things. I mean, I do general care for anxiety, gut issues, whatever someone needs. But those were like kind of the two main tracks I was known for. And then when I semi-retired 13 years ago, I took a break. I went to India. I traveled. I kind of just did a lot of self-care, and I had been going, going, going. I had raised two kids while going through medical school, ran a busy practice. I needed my own exhale. And then when I started getting the fire back in my belly and feeling like I wasn't so burnt out, I started to think about what can I do. And at the time, I was doing telemedicine, A lot of people laugh and call me the OG of telemedicine, but I was doing telemedicine way before COVID came and everyone started doing it. And I thought, what can I do to help and reach more people online? The internet. When I first went to medical school, naturopathic medical school, when I first opened my clinic, we didn't have computers. We didn't do the internet. There were no podcasts. It was a totally different world. And now there's this beautiful world where we have so much access to information and learning. And I have patients now from all over the globe because they see me on a summit or so. It's very fascinating to see how that has shifted. And so I thought, what would be something that I could do grace to be adequate and really educate? And that's when I kind of chose menopause as something I wanted to focus on. And to me, like, niching is a really difficult thing for me to do because trained as a European biological medicine doctor, trained as a naturopathic physician, we treat the whole body. We're looking at the terrain. So whether there's something going on in your ear or your nose or your stomach, it's all connected to me. I don't separate it out. And so I kind of chose menopause because I thought, well, menopause is this great umbrella and I can address all the other issues that go under this time in a woman's life. And it was a great choice because it turns out that menopause is very misunderstood. Hormones are very misunderstood. Women and men are kept from hormones when they shouldn't be kept from them. We have this grave myth and misconception that hormones cause cancer, and it's anything but that. It's actually the opposite. When you understand hormones, when you monitor them properly, when you're looking at how they're metabolizing in the body and what they're doing, and that there are different types of hormone subsets within a type of hormone, I actually use hormones always to, whether it's to prevent, treat active cancer or to prevent recurrence from someone who's gone through treatment and recovered. And so it's been a lot of fun educating. And now with our new clinic opening up, we'll continue to do that because it's very rewarding, but we'll be expanding to focus on oncology, on autoimmune and long COVID and vaccine injuries, because that is COVID has really changed the playing game as a physician. When, as a physician, a patient comes in, we do a DDX, which is a differential diagnosis. And since COVID, that has just shifted everything. I don't think a lot of doctors are realizing that, but it's something you really have to be thinking about, whether someone has reactivated viruses, they're struggling with spike protein overload, they have vaccine injuries. We're seeing a ton of turbo cancers develop. So it's really impacted in a negative way, and people need a lot of help and to address these issues. It's not the same as just working with someone who has a cancer diagnosis. We have this whole other layer thrown into it now.
Yeah, with the vaccine injuries, that's such an interesting and challenging thing right now because people are still afraid to come out and talk about it. Doctors are afraid to talk about it. They're afraid of being ostracized by their own community, right? And people don't even realize that they've been vaccine injured. I mean, right? You get a vaccine and 2 days later, 3 days later, a week later, 2 weeks later, 4 weeks later, you start getting all these symptoms. And most people don't realize because they're like, okay, the vaccine's supposed to be helping me, preventing or healing or saving me from whatever it is I'm getting the vaccine for. And then 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, I've got all these symptoms. Very often people don't connect the two, right? They don't realize because they could never imagine in their mind that this drug over here or this pharmaceutical, could cause these issues, even though when you read the vaccine inserts, it has all of those symptoms on it. So the potential is there. It's just people don't even realize. So, I think there are so many more vaccine injuries that are than are actually being reported. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes I have to connect the dots for patients. And it's kind of, we think of when you have a baby and you feed a baby, what do they tell you? Give one food and wait 4 days. There's this delayed response in the immune system. And so you have to think about these are not your typical vaccines that we're used to. On top of it, they're this new horrific mRNA technology. And so they are changing the expression of your RNA, your DNA. They are turning people into spike protein factories. So they're continually, we don't really know how long or if there's ever an end to when the spike protein is stops being generated and spike protein is a poison. Then there's also the lipid nanoparticle, there's the DNA fragments, there's all these other pieces of the vaccine that are a problem. There's the setting off autoimmune disease that has been latent. There's all these different mechanisms are happening. So what I notice in my practice is most patients now, if they're coming in and they are have undergone vaccines, like they're not doing anymore. Most of them regret doing it. And we can trace back a lot of times, oh yeah, I had this. And then this started. And it might not have started the next day. It might have started 3 months later or 6 months later because it's taken that long for it to have an effect on the body. But it's something that is underlying in the way I look at the body and healing the body and the terrain. We have to handle that. We have to start decreasing the spike protein, decreasing the toxicity, going after the viruses and so on and so forth. So it's a huge, huge problem. And like I said in the beginning, you know, this tidal wave that we talked about 3, 4 years ago, you know, we're in it. The tidal wave hasn't crashed yet. It's still growing and building. We're still seeing and now crazily, so I think it's like 10% of the population now that is doing the actual boosters. Most people have wisened up, but there is a mRNA RSV vaccine that's coming down the pike that's going to be just as dangerous. And then we have the whole issue of these vaccines, which they're not even really vaccines if you want to get, you know, really technical, but they're being put onto the children's schedule, and the children's schedule is Looney Tune. And so that's a huge problem that we have this really sick population of children because as soon as they're born, they're being given a hep B shot and interacting with pharmaceuticals before they can, you know, even be present on the earth plane. So it is causing a lot of chaos, and I'm not afraid to talk about it because it's the reality.
Yeah, and people need to know about this stuff. According to the American, American Medical Association, they're saying only 22% of adults and 14% of children have received the 2023-2024 updated COVID-19 vaccine, right? And you're saying it's probably even less than that now. And I want to, this is published in Nature. The good thing about what we're going through now is that more of these publications are actually, more of these doctors and scientists who have been saying, hey, there's serious dangers here, and there's injuries we need to be concerned about, and there are serious threats to people's health. More of these studies are actually getting published, and it's starting to get more widespread when, a year ago, 2 years ago, we were all conspiracy theorists and quacks 3 years ago, right? How long has this thing been going on now? It's crazy. And yet, there was quite a bit of evidence then, but it was being, down throttled, and it was not allowed to be published. And, you and I, it's like talking to so many of our colleagues in the space over the years, like you could see this stuff firsthand in clinic, what's going on. And yet you talked about it and you were completely, shadow banned. And, for the YouTube videos taken down. For the YouTube fact checkers, you had mentioned that, some of these mRNA vaccines may cause autoimmune diseases. And, this is published in Nature now. A few systemic autoimmune diseases, such as autoimmune hepatitis and nephropathies, have been identified as being potentially associated with mRNA vaccines. Like, we're just getting more and more research showing all the things that, you and I and many of our colleagues have been talking about for the last 3 or 4 years, which is good. We're getting that research. The problem is it's still being censored and it's still not reaching, the masses amount of people that it needs to. Because really, what people need to know is what can they do? What can they do if they have been injured? What can they do to improve their immune system, right? What can they do to detox if they want to detox? So, what are some of the things that you've been seeing that are actually effective at these things for your patients?
Yeah, and I just like to say, now with RFK, hopefully having a big say in Washington, hopefully a lot of this will change, and there's brightness on the horizon. But yeah, there is lots of things that can be done, and like you said, awareness is the first thing if you haven't put it together. So like, if you are struggling, if you're having weird symptoms, if you've had all of a sudden you had Epstein-Barr 40 years ago, and now you have it's elevated again, your IgM is activated. If you're having numbness, tingling, if you're having anything that's going on and you're not sure what it's from, and you have been vaccinated, or even, I do also see a subset of patients who were not vaccinated and are struggling and are having elevated markers and things because maybe they just had the bioweapon virus and it affected their body in a negative way, or maybe they've been being shed on. I had a lot of women who were not vaccinated, who partners, male partners, husbands, boyfriends were vaccinated, and a lot of these women had bleeding issues. They, been under my care for 20 years postmenopausal, and all of a sudden now they're having periods, which they've never had before. That's been documented in the literature as well. So what are some of the things you can do? There's a lot of things, and it's a little different for everyone. From first of all, fasting inducing autophagy is a really good strategy to employ. From tools that I'm using,
Let's stay on fasting for a little bit, if you don't mind, just
sure.
because there's a lot of different kinds of fasting, right? I mean, generally, if you say fasting, like traditional fasting is just water fasting or dry fasting, but right, you can do juice cleansing, juice feasting, juice fasting. You can do fasts where you're including tea and black coffee and water or not, right? So and somebody, let's say stage 4 cancer diagnosis that maybe has autoimmune disease or diabetes, you're immediately putting them onto like a water fast for a long period of time without supervision could be dangerous as well. So maybe if you could talk more about fasting, what you mean when you talk about fasting and what are different types of fasting people could think about and dive into the benefits. Because I don't think there's enough talk about fasting, and literally, it's like it is our God-designed mechanism for self-healing, right? Like, just stop putting stuff in the body and let the body heal itself. All animals do this. Look at your dog. The moment your dog is sick, what does it do? It won't eat. It knows that it needs to rest and that it needs to stop eating. It needs to let the body heal itself. Animals do this. Humans, we used to do this naturally, but now I think the fact that we just have so much food and so much addictive food and processed food and sugar around us 24/7, it is so difficult to even think about not eating for a few days when really, like if that's all you did, you would probably be light years ahead with your health than not doing it, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Refrigerators make it very easy to just go grazing all the time. And so we have to look at our relationship with food. And so when I'm talking about fasting, so autophagy is what we're really looking to, because that's the cleansing of the dead proteins, that's the cleansing of the cells, and that's where we're really getting benefits, whether it be because you're dealing with cancer diagnosis or you have an overload of spike protein or whatever it may be. And so there is a misconception, like intermittent fasting is very popular, but you never get to autophagy in intermittent fasting. There's something to be said for condensing your food window, although for women, it is not always a good idea. For some women, that intermittent fasting actually stresses their adrenal glands. It slows down the thyroid and increases their reverse T3, because the body thinks, oh my gosh, there's a problem. We better go into crisis mode. And so it's something that you really need to undertake with, your healthcare practitioner supervision. And water fasting, absolutely. Do not listen to I'm a doctor, I'm probably not your doctor, so this is not medical advice. Don't go out and start water fasting unless you're under medical supervision. But even doing like the 5-day water fasting mimicking diet, that is safe to do. I use that a lot. We can use that also if someone is going through chemo, because you definitely want to fast, before, during, and after to make the chemo more effective. Not that I'm saying, in my practice, my patients who do the best forego chemo, they forego radiation. We do everything alternatively. There might be a few times, something like lymphoma may react really well to chemo, and we may do that, but I'm really more of a, we're going to do all things naturally. We're going to use natural chemotherapeutic agents, and we're going to really do the terrain. So the water fasting mimicking diet is safe. It's safe to use. It's a great 5-day program. By day 3, you're into autophagy. And it's a good way to kind of get your feet wet before you say, go do a medically supervised 30-day fast. But yeah, we have to think about our food and not just what we're eating, but what it's doing to our system. And is our food being absorbed? Is our food really being thy medicine like it can be? Or is our food be creating metabolic stress because we don't have the proper hydrochloric acid or pancreatic enzyme production or gallbladder cholecystokinin production? Are we not able to absorb our food? And so giving that rest, and like you were saying, we just eat. We're all about eating, and sometimes you don't even realize. I often have patients just do a food diary and really look at what you're eating and how often. And I think also a continuous glucose monitor. I'm kind of obsessed with those now.
Are
I
you?
think,
Are you?
yeah, I think a continuous
I'm like I'm
glucose
I like I think there's
monitor.
benefits, and then I think there's also like they can really screw people up too, but I'll let you talk about it first.
Oh, I want to hear what you, well, I want to hear what you think, because I see a lot of upside, because I think they really, and especially we know if we're talking about cancer, any disease, sugar feeds all disease, right? And so we really need to be limiting that. And we don't always know how our body is responding. And so a typical, don't eat white potatoes because they spike your glucose. Eat sweet potatoes, they're a complex carb, they won't spike your glucose. But when I put a CGM on a patient, that's not always what I see. Like, there is a lot of
Right.
bio individuality. And so, learning what spikes you at a patient, the others say, I had a fight with my mother, and that really made my glucose go up high. And so, you can really learn about your sleep, your meditation, your relationships, your diet, when you're eating, how you're eating, why you're eating, where you're eating, what you're eating. So I don't think it's something you need to wear forever, but I like patients to put them in for a couple of months to just get an idea of how food is reacting in their body and what they can learn for themselves. I think it makes you really responsible for, okay, I'm a big girl, and if I see this is doing this to my blood sugar, am I going to go do that again, or am I going to take care of my vessel and make a different choice?
With the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljanski's wellness products. Maison Beljanski's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljanski formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljanski's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljanski has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners.
You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order 4 products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljansky.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. You know, one of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code PANACEA15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show.
Yeah, that's where I think there can be some benefit there, right? So the two big downsides that I saw, so I did it for a couple months just to see. I love experimenting with things like that, right? And just get to know my body better and the foods I'm eating. So two things happened. One is Cyrus Kambada, our friend and colleague, who has type 1 diabetes, been living with type 1 diabetes for like over 20 years, right? The most accurate way to check your blood glucose is a pinprick and then check with, you know, take your blood and then check with a monitor right there on the spot. That's the absolute most accurate way you can do it. The CGM, what he found is, because he has to check his blood many, many times every single day and determine how much insulin he needs to inject with type 1 diabetes, he found that there was a pretty good discrepancy even when he accounted for the difference in time, because remember, the CGM is pulling data from your muscle tissue. It's not actually pulling from, you know, your blood. It's like pulling from the blood within, like, the interstitial tissues or something. It's basically pulling it from the muscle. And so that he found there was somewhere between, if I remember correctly, we talked about this like almost a year ago, 6 months ago, like a 10 to 20% discrepancy between every time he was checking on his finger at that time. And then, you know, I think it's like a 20 minute delay, whatever. He would account for the delay. It was still like a 10 to 20% discrepancy. And he was so frustrated with it. He's just like, this is, for somebody who has to take insulin, if you have diabetes, it was very unreliable. And he tried, you know, some of the best ones out there. So that's one major concern. Like, if you're really, you know, 10 to 20% discrepancy is pretty huge. The other thing that I've seen it do in people is it's caused this whole wave of quote unquote health influencers to really encourage people to avoid foods that are actually healthy, because what they make people afraid of is that glucose spike. Well, that glucose spike is 100% normal after you eat food. There's nothing wrong with your blood spiking. That means your body's working normally. Yeah. If it goes above whatever that number is, 180, you know, grams per deciliter, I can't remember the numbers right now, but if it goes above that certain number, then it's like, okay, maybe I should be a little concerned. Like, I went out and ate a pizza, you know, that was on like a whatever processed cauliflower crust or whatever it was. And like, that was the highest I ever saw my glucose spike while I was using the CGM, was like, on. But if I'm eating fruit, if I'm eating lentil pasta, if I'm eating vegetables and rice and tofu, of course it's going to spike every single time, but it's in that range, it's in the healthy range. And so what I see a lot of these influencers doing, and they're influencing millions of people, is like, do everything you can to keep that spike as absolutely low as you possibly can. So that means less fruits, less grains, less quinoa, less beans, less things that we know are incredibly healthy for you, anti-cancer, longevity foods, and eat. And they're really pushing more high fat, because the thing that's not going to spike your glucose is if you're eating, high protein and high fat and low carbs. And so they basically are using it to say, healthy carbohydrates are actually bad for you. You don't want any spike, which is not true. It's insane. And so it's like pushing a whole bunch of misinformation out into the world is what I see. So, like,
The problem with health influences. Yeah, so that's kind of a bummer about
right?
what you're saying about the discrepancy. I mean, I just found that at least it's more real time. I mean, I'm gonna take that into consideration, but it really puts a page, because normally I'm just running a fasting glucose and a hemoglobin A1C and a fasting insulin,
Yeah.
which gives some information, but that can look really stable. And yeah, of course we want to have a spike. A postprandial, spike is normal, and you want to
Right.
have good physiology that your body regulates, that it responds. It's if it stays too high. So that, yeah, that's just, you have to be careful of who you're getting your information from, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so you, as a doctor who's actually reviewing your patients and guiding them and coaching them and, able to guide them through it, like, that's obviously going to be helpful
Yeah,
for them.
I
But for the
watched a
average
lot of
person to just slap on a CGM and listen to their favorite health influencer tell them that, you got to avoid all these healthy foods and just only eat fat and protein and reduce all your carbs, like
Yeah,
that,
no,
yeah,
not
I
a good
mean,
idea.
that's the challenge I see that's happening with those right now, so.
Yeah, and that's in every aspect of health, right? You got to really
Unfortunately.
be careful who I said in the beginning, it's great to have all this. So there's always a light and a dark side of everything. And so yes, you just got to be careful and vet your information and decide who you're going to rely on.
So water mimicking fasting, yeah, that's the fasting mimicking diet, right? It's something like 1300 calories or something a day of food. I think it's like it gets the calories so low that your
Varies.
body responds almost as if it's in fasting, right?
Yeah, so it's they have a lot of billions of dollars of research and studies, and it's some days are high. I think the first day is 1100. It does drop to maybe 600, 700, but it's specific nutrients that make your body think it's in a fasting mode. So, but you're still getting some nutrition, so you can work while you're doing it. It doesn't put your body. It maintains your muscle mass, which is really important, because when you're fasting, you can lose muscle mass. And especially as you're aging, muscle is gold, and we want to maintain it. And so it doesn't spike your insulin growth factor, your IGF-1, which is something, especially with tumor, we're looking at elevated markers. So it's very well thought out. To me, it's very sane. I'm not usually a, like, oh, this one size fits all kind of doctor by any means. I was actually very put off by it initially, but like I said, I have an open mind, and I do find it has a lot of benefit. And for some people, it is too stressful for them to water fast, and it depends, and if we're talking about cancer, we have to see what kind of state of cachexia they're in, and sarcopenia, and we have to take all of these things into account. So it's different for everyone, but for getting rid of spike protein, for helping recover from long COVID, it is definitely something you want to have in your bag of tricks that you can be doing. And then, of course, looking at the tools, whether it be proteolytic enzymes to be breaking down inflammation, bromelain, curcumin. These things that we know are shown to to be breaking down the spike protein. I use a lot of thymosin alpha, which, hooray, the FDA just gave us back. They take away, they give it back. And so they've been playing with this one. So they just gave it back to us. And thymosin alpha is a great modulator of the immune system. And what we see a lot is that the TH1, so the surveillance part of the immune system, is really suppressed. And so people aren't able to see viruses, to see tumor cells. And so this helps to re-regulate the immune system so it can kind of wake up again. I use a lot of methylene blue, which is really good for the mitochondria, which are deeply impacted. I use a lot of ivermectin, both, acutely and for long COVID problems. Works really well for patients. So I'm using a lot of different things, and it really depends what your situation is. We could be use nicotine patches. I finally started drinking my urine. So that's a little bit of part of
You're
bell.
welcome, maybe. Maybe you're welcome. I don't know.
Yes, it was definitely, I think I interviewed you, gosh, it was at least 6 months ago. And it's a hard sell even for someone like me. It took, I actually, our friend Marlene and I were like, let's do it together. So we became urine buddies. So it was good to have an accountability partner, because it's very easy to go, yeah, I'm not going to do that. But it really, it was funny because she was saying she was going to put electrolyte, like she was making it into a whole shake kind of thing. And I was like, oh my God, that's a great idea. And then when it came to do it, I was like, I'm just going to drink this. Like, it's sitting here in my glass cup.
Right.
I
So you just got to do it.
don't have the patience to start mixing protein and stuff with it. Like, I don't want to, I'll do that at another point in my day. And so I just would drink it. And it's really not that bad. It's really a mental thing,
Yeah,
right?
it really is. It's all mental. It's 100% mental. And for people who
That's a
don't
lot.
know, I did a 90-day experiment, drinking my own urine every day for 90 days, and documented the whole thing, tons of blood tests, urine tests, heavy metal tests, all kinds of stuff on day one, and then redid it all on day 90. And I did a whole kind of mini documentary about it, 20-minute video. It's on YouTube. You can find it. It's called My 90-Day Urine Therapy Experiment Final Results. YouTube has definitely censored it. They don't want, like, the version on Instagram, I don't know how many times it's been seen. I think the first few days it was out there, it was already tens of thousands of views. And that was months ago, so it's probably hundreds of thousands now. I don't know. YouTube, there's like a few hundred views. They for sure have censored it, but the results are really fascinating. I'm not going to talk about it. People should go watch that video because, our friend and colleague Jonathan Otto was trying to get me to look into urine therapy for like over 2 years. And then finally I was like, all right, come on my podcast, tell me everything you know about it, and try and convince me about it. And by the end of it, I was like, all right, I'm convinced enough to do a 90-day experiment with it. And so I've done multiple podcasts with him about it on my channel, people can go listen to. And then I documented, all the things I learned about it were just so incredible. Like people I'd meet along the way, one of the gentlemen who was at our retreat saw our videos, and he was losing his eyesight, just normal, like needed glasses, didn't want to wear glasses, couldn't read. Heard about urine being able to actually help with eyesight, started putting it in his eyes every day, just kind of splashing it in. You could also drop it in. And it was like 2 or 3 weeks, and he had his eyesight back completely normal. Got a video of him talking about it. Like all these kinds of incredible things like that that I was continuing to discover along the way. Athletes using it to heal, professional athletes using it to heal sprains, right? All these ancient medicinal uses of it, in India, like all this stuff. I was like, okay, there's really something interesting here. We were in Africa on a humanitarian mission, bringing seeds and tools to the tribes there, and I literally had no water, and I was so dehydrated, and I was actually sick, and I was just like, well, This is what I got. I got some urine, and it was like thick and warm, and it was hot outside, and it was really dark yellow. It was so crazy. I don't know if I told you this. When I drank it was, this is the first time it happened, by the way. Like, your urine, it's very mental. It doesn't taste good, but after like a week or two, you get used to it, right? And it's like, oh, well, that's not bad. This tasted like candy. It was so crazy. It was, every sip I took was sweet. It was like eating fruit. It was so weird. And it lasted, the sweetness lasted in my mouth for like 2 minutes after every time I would drink it. And I was like, this is, maybe it's because I'm dehydrated and like, this is what my body really needs right now. I don't
This
know.
is
It was
just what
crazy.
the doctor ordered. Yeah.
That's what the doctor ordered. Yeah.
It is. So there's some really good things you could do for yourself, right? Whether it be fasting and inducing autophagy, looking into urine therapy, you know, there, and it really just depends. I mean, we're opening a clinic because some people are really sick and need more support. And so we're going to be doing EBO, which is extracorporeal blood ozone and oxygenation, which is, it's kind of like dialysis, but it's ozone dialysis. So it's really cleansing your blood of spike protein, of viruses, of toxins. So that's really powerful. We're going to be doing also intravenous blue light, red light, so killing off viruses. We're going to be doing hypoxia training, which really, in, we talk about autophagy, and hypoxia training is autophagy for the mitochondria. So it's getting rid of the mitochondria that are damaged and not working. And so there's lots of, you know, I do, I've found that cell therapy has been very beneficial for a number of my patients who had severe, whether it be cardio damage or lung damage, where cell therapy is like stem cell therapy, but it's very specific. So we're using actual cells that are the same organ and to regenerate. And so sometimes we need to use bigger guns. And so it just depends how severe it is and what your health was to begin with. I feel like COVID is kind of the, you know, the, well, I don't know what the word would be, but it kind of, the instigator, where if you had something kind of, you were kind of getting by and things were subclinical and you were kind of pushing down the symptoms and getting through, and then you got jabbed or you got a virus, you know, whatever it is, the bioweapon I call it, that it could just bring things to the surface and now you've gotta deal with them. And so there's lots of different things. Everyone is an individual. Those are just some off the top of my head that we're doing. I mean, I always go back to looking at the terrain. I always go back to what is going on in the extracellular matrix. And we talk a lot, you know, the mitochondria is super cool these days, and everyone talks about the mitochondria. And I love me some mitochondria. But ultimately, it's the space within the cells, it's the extracellular matrix, the milieu, that is really determining health. It's where the mitochondria is getting communications from. And so we have to, the cells, if we think of it like a soup, right? The cells are in this soup and they're only just like a fish is in a fish tank. It's only as healthy as the water. The cells are only as healthy as this matrix. And we have to really be looking at how is our body responding? How does our body regulate? And so I think back a lot to homotoxicology, which is it's the work of Dr. Hans Heinrich Rekkeweg. And so a lot of what I do, I mean, I went to naturopathic school in Arizona, but I was very fortunate to start working with doctors over in Switzerland and Germany very in my, I was still a med student. And so over in Europe, they really understand terrain-based. They're not doing green allopathy, which is, oh, I have, you know, I have a symptom. So instead of giving you a pharmacy item, I'll give you a herb. I mean,
Supplement, yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's a better, it's certainly better to give a supplement than a pharmaceutical, but you're still not really uncovering what the body is trying to tell you. And so one of the things that I every single time. I don't know if you experience this too with people you work with, but when a patient comes in and they've been given a cancer diagnosis, they say the same thing every single time. I don't understand, Dr. Stills, why I got cancer because I haven't been sick for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And I'm like, well, that's a big part of the reason because if your body, when we think about homotoxicology, the first stage is excretion. And if your body doesn't sweat, doesn't spike a fever, doesn't excrete mucus, doesn't vomit, doesn't have diarrhea, if your body doesn't excrete what doesn't belong, right away you're shutting down how your immune system functions. And so when I see a patient at the end, I'm always like, okay, magic wand, what do you want to see happen with our work together? And if they haven't been sick, they think I'm weird, but I put at the top of the magic wand list, I'm like, we need to get you sick. We need to have on our wish list that you're going to have a cold or a flu. And I'm not saying every month, but once a year, once every other year at a minimum, your body needs to know that the immune system is working and it can excrete. And so we shut down, we don't get fevers anymore. We don't allow our children to get fevers. And fever is the innate immune system working. Fever is burning off the toxins. And so if we haven't excreted it, we try to burn it off. And we just, everything is anti-fever, anti-diarrhea, antibiotic, anti-life, anti, we're all about
Right.
anti-everything. And so if we don't excrete and we don't inflame, then we deposit. And where do we deposit? We deposit these toxins into the extracellular matrix. And so we start to gunk everything up. And then if we're taking good things, it's like swimming through a sea of gunk. It can't find the cellular receptor sites. Their communication gets shut down. And so we really have to be thinking about things from this perspective because once we've gunked up the extracellular matrix, if we don't clean that out, if we're not unrestricting the fascia, if we're not moving the lymphatic system, if we're not looking at the body burden, which the mouth contains like 70% typically of the body burden. I was when I trained over at Paracelsus in Switzerland, they have the dentist and the clinics I work with now, they have the biological dentist under the same roof as the doctors. And the patients go see the dentist first because the doctors are like, why make my job harder? Like, if you have blockages here, it's going to be really hard to heal your body. So let's clean up
Yeah.
the mouth
I mean,
and then.
that's, and those are things like root canals, right? That can be infected. Those are things
Yes,
like
so
mercury
good.
fillings that can be just leaching heavy metals into your bloodstream every single day, right? Like that's, there's so much that is going on in
Yeah.
the mouth. I mean, we have this entire family of billions and billions of microbiota in the mouth. That needs to be healthy. But all these toothpastes that people use and all these mouthwash that people use are all about killing the bacteria. And just like the stomach, all these antibiotics about killing the bacteria. The problem is we need majority of that bacteria. We need a healthy colony of bacteria in our mouth and in our guts if we want our immune system to function properly. So, I mean, I stopped using, mouthwashes and fluoride. An antibacterial toothpaste many, many years ago, and just use powders and natural kinds of toothpaste and things like that because I realized how important it is to, one, keep those toxins out of the body, but two, keep our microbiota family healthy within our mouth and within our gut.
Yeah, we have. So I run computerized regulation thermography scans on patients, which is a way of looking at regulation of the body. And we check, a lot of women come for their breasts or men come for their prostate. It's a non-invasive screen, and it's looking at the nervous system regulation of the organ function. And it's the only tool available that can really identify if there's congestion in the lymphatic system. There's no blood test for lymph or anything like that. And so it got me really obsessed with the lymph because I've been doing these since I started practicing, and like every patient had lymph congestion, and every patient has issues in their teeth. And yeah, it could be root canals, it can be mercury, it can be different metals causing a galvanic current in your mouth, it could be gum disease, it can be cavitations, which are infections in your jaw bones that are often missed. And there's also the connection between every tooth and the meridians. So the acupuncture meridians run through the tooth, and I see a huge correlation. So like the upper molars are on the stomach meridian, and the stomach meridian runs through the thyroid, it runs through the breast. And so we see a huge correlation with root canals. I scan, I see the block, and a breast cancer. And we see it, the front teeth or the kidney and the bladder and the wisdom teeth, which often have cavitations because most people had their wisdom teeth removed improperly. The periodontal ligament was left, wasn't cleaned out, it wasn't ozonated, all the things. And so that's related to the small intestines and our heart. And so we see a lot of issues with small intestines. Our immune system is lying there. That's where the Peyer's patches are. And so there's a huge correlation. So I often kick, especially when we're dealing with chronic illness. So a woman who's going through menopause and needs bioidentical hormone replacement, yes, I'm talking to her about her teeth. I'm putting it on her to-do list. But can I give her hormones and will she get better and feel better and be protected? Absolutely. But someone who's dealing with chronic illness, whether it be a cancer diagnosis or long haul or autoimmune or neurodegenerative issues, they have to, at least in my world, they have to handle their teeth because they're not going to get better if we have all these focal blockages. We have the tonsils, whether you have your tonsils or they've been removed. And so what happens? Kids' tonsils swell, and what do? We remove the
Take them
tonsils.
out. Yeah. I'm so glad they never. I mean, I used to have strep throat and sore throat all the time as a kid. And then they put me on antibiotics and then get better. And then 4 months later, 5 months later, same thing again and again and again and again. Thank God they didn't take out my tonsils. They took out, I believe, my one or two of my brother's tonsils. And I just later, as I learned about health, I was just like, oh, thank you for not actually taking out my tonsils. I'm surprised they didn't because I was sick so often. But that's one of the first immune defenses, right? It's like, oh, we don't need those. Take those out of there. They just get inflamed. It's like, are you kidding me? They're part of your immune system.
Well, it's because we don't ask why, right? So if your tonsils are inflamed, it means there's something going on in the gut, and now your tonsils are inflamed because the gut needs help. The immune system is overwhelmed and it's calling in the forces. And I see in thermography, it's very common for patients' tonsils to be blocked, whether they have them or not. And so that's a blockage that's affecting the whole system. It's the gateway. And so we'll go in with neural therapy and inject the tonsils, use some homeopathic remedies, use some procaine just to open up that area so we can get flow, so we can get drainage. We have a lot of lymph coming from the glymph, and we have lymph in here. And
Yep.
so we have to really be thinking systemically, not, oh, what supplement do I take to suppress the symptoms? Our symptoms are, they're not very enjoyable, but to me, they're these sacred messengers that are giving us clues to what's going on in our body and what needs our attention.
Yeah, it's I love that you said earlier we need to be able to get sick. You know, I got hit with something a couple of weeks ago. You can still I'm still a little clogged up. You probably hear my voice that like hit me so hard. I haven't been this sick in a long time. Some whatever laboratory COVID crazy thing this is, whatever it is, like once it took root like in my lungs, it just it's been, you know, brutal. But the one thing I can be grateful for as we're talking about is all the coughing, as much as I don't like it, it's like, yeah, I'm coughing up that phlegm. That part of my immune system is working. I get a lot of phlegm and cough it out. My sinuses are draining. I'm blowing my nose a lot and getting a lot of that out. You know, sweating, like sometimes I'll just get hot, my body will just start sweating. I'm like, oh yeah, it feels like I have a fever. Right, and I'm not taking medications to try and stop this stuff. I think that's the problem is people turn to Advil and Tylenol and all these, antihistamines and different things that shut down the immune system, right? So what? So we don't feel it. Well, I get it. I mean, after 4 nights of not sleeping, because I just was coughing the whole time, and waking up, and then after work, and I just feel terrible. I'm like, all right, nothing natural is helping me sleep, no matter what I do. So, I take some. One night I took like NyQuil, and I actually slept most of the night, which was great. But then I wake up and I'm just like so groggy the rest of the day, and I'm like, is this even worth it? Or like another night I took another one of those things like NyQuil, and it was just like I was so out of it the whole next day. I'm just like, do I just deal with the cough and just have it wake me up every hour and have poor sleep? Because the sleep is where I know my body's going to heal the most if I can actually sleep. So it's kind of like, okay, take the Robitussin, that's what it was, Robitussin, and deal with some of the liver toxicity and stuff, which I can clean out really easily. I've got liver herbs and binders, and like I'm not worried about taking something like that for a couple of days so I can get some sleep. But then I just feel terror. I feel even worse the next day.
Yeah, body sick. It is where we're like, we don't have time for this. But a lot of times, the first thing when I get sick, I go, okay, let me take a little inventory. And have I been not saying, I've been saying yes when I should say no, or where am I out of? Why is my body wanting me to lie down and do nothing? And we so appreciate in our society, it's like go, 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 go. And I'm all about pause, breathe, exhale, slow. We can give trophies for being slow or for doing nothing or for having white space on our calendar. Those are all good medicine. Medicine comes in so many different ways. And
Well,
so,
if we don't do that, we get forced to do it, right? 'Cause
yeah.
I mean, I had to clear my schedule a few days because I was just so out of it. I was like, I can't do podcasts and interviews and meetings right now. I just clear the whole day and then just lay around all day, feeling terrible. So, whatever this one is, it was really deep. But that's the thing I can be grateful for. It's like, well, my immune system's working. It's doing everything it can to kick this out. The weird things, you probably know about this. I don't ever remember having this before, but I know a lot of kids get this, where the I'm blanking on the name. The tube that goes into
Station tube.
Eustachian tube, yeah, that connects behind the eardrum. It's gotten filled with fluid and inflamed and whatever. So like I only have like 50 or 60% of hearing, and it is so weird. It is like I definitely have compassion for people who are losing their hearing. It is very challenging, and yet it's a very weird thing to like not have your full hearing and go about your daily life when you're used to having hearing and then don't have like a lot of it. It's so strange. It's so challenging. And I'm like, all right, God, what is this? What do you want me to do? And the answer was, listen more, talk less. I'm like, all right, I can do
Yeah, there's
that.
always, I think that's the other thing I always hear patients say also. They say, why did I get this? Because I never get sick. And then down the journey, they always say, what a gift this has been. Right? Like, which sounds so weird, but what a gift it's been to have a diagnosis of cancer, because it really helped me heal or have more self-love or change my life. Or, so we do. We get, I believe that things start out on an energetic level, that most things are emotional or spiritual in nature. And if we aren't paying attention because we're going, 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 they start to manifest in our physical body. Because at some point, the physical body is like a hammer beating over our head, and we are going to pay attention. And so.
Eventually, hopefully.
So healing is always this combination, because we still are this physical vessel, so we do still need to pay attention to the physical stuff. But there's always a component, especially when we have a more serious disease diagnosis going on. There's always a piece, and that's not a bad thing. That's, we're here to learn and grow as souls, and so that gives us this opportunity, because we're very backwards in what we pay attention to what we think is important. We kind of can easily get sucked into the traditional American experience of just go, 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 be stressed, work, pay bills, etc. And we have to take our own step backwards and really start to evaluate, which is why I always encourage women in menopause, like it's a good time, you're usually about 50, to really evaluate. But also chronic illness is a great time to where are you out of alignment? Where are you living into your goals and your dreams? And I often tell patients to write their own eulogy. Because how do you want to be remembered? What is the legacy you want to leave? What's important to you? And you'll be surprised at how often when you're like, oh, wow, this is really important to me and I'm not doing it. You know,
yeah.
Dancing really brings me joy and I haven't danced in 7 years and I really want to be giving back to the community. But oops, I haven't really done much. And so it's really good to take this time. And, you know, we don't have to wait till disease makes us do it. We can,
yep.
Naturopathic medicine is all, like I had a patient the other day and she came, said, you know, I'm just coming because I want to stay healthy. And I was like, oh my God, you know, that's so rare. I was like, let's get balloons and celebrate you because we don't really do that. We just go, go, go until we really. And even if we have some symptoms, often, you know, we'll just suppress them so we can keep going, going, going. But we have to step back and really get into relationship with our bodies, why we're here, what our purpose is. That's the good, important stuff.
Yeah, the question is not why me, but what for? You know, Dr. Contreras said that in my cancer documentary many years ago. And it's such a powerful thing. Anything that you're dealing with, even this cold I've been dealing with, like I was getting a little bit into the like, man, I'm so tired of this. I want this gone. I'm ready to move on, blah, blah, blah. And then I was laying in meditation the other night and I just remember it was like, okay, what's this for? What is this challenge? This hearing loss, this dizziness, this coughing, like what is this for? And I asked it from a very like neutral and curious, right? Like the energy has to be neutral and curious, not judgmental. Like, what is this for? Like to show me, right? No, it's like, okay, what is the higher good of this? What's the purpose of this? What can I learn from this? And you said a little bit ago, you know, you have cancer patients who said it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to them. I've had so many cancer patients over the years tell me those exact same words, but they didn't get there right away. They got there over time of asking this question. Okay, what is this here to teach me? What can I learn from this? Where in my life do I need to improve? Is it my family? Is it my job? Is it my relationships? You know, is it my diet, my health? And very often, if it's cancer, it's all of those areas. So you could just start in one area that like seems totally out of balance and needs improvement and just focus on that, and you'll see that like that can snowball into helping other areas of life. But you know, I've had cancer patients over the years tell me that, wow, it really saved my relationship, or got me, I realized I had to get out of this very destructive relationship that just was not working, you know, that was causing so much pain, or I had to quit this job that was just so terrible and so stressful, and now I'm actually doing what I love. I'm helping other people, or I'm following my passion, right? All these things, when we ask the right questions from that space of true curiosity and a neutral or a positive space, like, okay, what is this here to teach me? What can I learn from this? Why am I dealing with this? Because there's always a spiritual reason. There's always a spiritual reason, and I find there's always an emotional reason as well. Right? When it's cancer or it's any other major diagnosis, there's always a spiritual and emotional reason. And if we can discover what that is, start to cultivate that and work on that while we're doing all the other things, right? The supplements, the diet, the exercise, the sauna, the fasting, then all those things just work so much more effectively. But if we don't address the underlying emotional root cause and we don't address the spiritual reason behind it, what it's here to wake us up to, then all this other stuff is like, this is like the 20% of it, in my opinion. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's, I always say, like, you got to do column A and column B. And my experience is patients usually like lean towards, you know, some patients are like, I will stand on my head and eat all the organic tofu you
Right.
want me to. I'll swallow 75 pills, but you want me to talk about my dysfunctional childhood? I don't really want to go there. And then there's other patients who are like, I totally understand. I had a dysfunctional marriage and this is part of the stress, but then they're not so apt to like want to eat the organic tofu and broccoli. And so we have to really
Right.
be willing to come to both because it's always weighted a little differently. And there are themes and there are general themes I see with different organs. You know, breast cancer is often, I see it's a betrayal by a male. I see it a lot manifest after a divorce, but it could also be can be the father who wanted a boy and got you. And, you know, there's really no way to rectify that. And so it's that underlying energetics of he wanted a boy and you're a girl, and that can manifest as breast cancer. It could be issues with your children. It could be issues with a boss. It could be a brother. It could be your own, you know, self. You think about the breasts and breast milk and nurturing your baby. And so it can be a lack of self-love, a lack of self-nurturing. It just really, there's all these different reasons. You know, left is more feminine, right is more male. So, depending what side it's on. So, there's all these themes. And then, you know, yours may be totally different. These are just some general themes that I see commonly. And, you know, you can't heal. So, we do a lot of heart rate variability, autonomic testing, and never have I seen a chronically ill patient who wasn't, you know, stuck in SNS, sympathetic nervous stress, had no parasympathetic tone and needed their parasympathetics to be uplifted and upbuilt. And so we can't heal without a regulated nervous system. And so healing is, it's very multifactorial and it's a journey. And it could be a journey of really awakening and giving some good gifts to yourself. And so when we look at it like that, and I think being curious is such a great attribute in life in general. And you know, we think about children and they're so curious and we lose our childlike nature, but it's still in us. It's still waiting to be paid attention to. And so getting curious about life, about anything, is just a good place. It's a very Zen way to start acting from.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I have a client who was diagnosed with colorectal cancer, and you know, and he just dealt with a lot of issues from that and the treatment from it, and then he had, you know, chronic hip pain, and he was gaining weight and low energy and fatigue and not sleeping well and all this stuff. And so, you know, the first thing we looked at was, you know, his nervous system and like what is at the root of causing you to be in the sympathetic state so your body's not healing itself. And that's exactly what we looked at. And so the great thing is he was very open to the holistic approach. And so we focused on what is it called? Rapid Transformational Therapy, RTT, from Marissa Peer, which is a really powerful, you know, hypnotherapy with, you know, healing, subconscious healing, and then reprogramming. So we did a few months of that, which was unbelievably helpful in really addressing the childhood issues and healing those adverse events, which has been amazing. Focused on improving the sleep. He was only sleeping like decent sleep, like a few nights a month. We increased that by like 900% in a few months. You know, cleaned up the diet, you know, whole food plant-based diet. Now it's like he's lost weight, he has tons of energy, his emotional health is incredibly well. Now they're buying a retreat center and they're following their passion to like help other people through health. This is just after 6 months. He's cycling like 40K cycled multiple days a week and doing like, he did like a 100K cycle race. Like just incredible things, exercising multiple days a week, because he was open and willing to look at the holistic, as you talked about, the terrain, mind, body, emotions, environment, cleaning up the toxins. Yeah, we looked at supplements and I shared some of the top most researched supplements I recommend. And it's like he's healthier now than he's ever been in a very, very long time, feeling great, high energy, and yet there's still things to improve and work on. Right, but it's just incredible to see his whole transformation in such a short time.
Yeah, I think you bring up supplements, and I love supplements. And if you came on a tour of my house or the new clinic, like we've got a whole, I'm like, are you making that big room enough, that room big enough for the supplements? I don't think you understand. But that being said, supplements are a supplement. They, and I think we come, when we come to natural healing, a lot of times we still come with that mentality of my medicine is going to come in a pill bottle. Right? It's kind of been ingrained into us from society. And so we think, oh, what are the supplements I need? I'm going to take curcumin and mushrooms, and I'm going to take proteolytic enzymes, and I'm going to take, and this is going to cure me. And supplements are just a slice of that gluten-free, dairy-free pie. I always say they are important. They, you know, I use them as medicines. They have therapeutic implications, but you can't supplement your way out of unhealthy emotions or an unhealthy diet or a lack of sleep or lack of movement or lack of light or lack of community or too many EMFs bombarding you. So we have to just really shift. You know, if you take nothing else from this, just shifting that, like healing is very, it's a big spectrum. And we put so much emphasis on supplements, and there's so much going on within us. Like I'm a huge fan. I practice color puncture, which is also from Germany. A lot of what I do comes from Germany, and we do biophoton scans, so we can see your energy field. We're scanning your fingertips and your toes, and we can see where trauma happened at what age. And a lot of times we see it in this pre-existent state,
Wow.
where we're coming in with the trauma. And so we have to, no matter what, I mean, even if you're healthy, like it's just good to do this kind of work, whether it's the RTT or whatever. It's good to do this work because it's preventative. Don't wait until you're super sick. Get curious about what you can improve upon, what you can balance, how can your flow improve. You know, maybe you had a perfect life and you're not really carrying a lot of trauma. There's a few unicorns of you out there,
Yeah, they're
but
probably not listening to this podcast, though. And there are not very many of
right.
them.
So, you know, but for most of us, you know, myself included, like we all are carrying trauma issues, these things, and why wait till you have a physical complex diagnosis on top of it? Like get curious, start, you know, you're a great project. So start thinking about how you can start implementing things in your life that are gonna unfold you know, let the flower bloom. And so this is really important work, no matter where you're at on your health journey. You know, much more important than taking the right bottle of curcumin,
It's so true.
although I do take curcumin, right? So
Right.
you know, it's not either or, it's yes and please.
Right. Yeah, so thank you for coming on the podcast. It's awesome to get to chat with you for a bit.
Yeah,
And so excited about your clinic opening. And that is in what part of Arizona?
sunny Scottsdale,
Scottsdale. That's where
Arizona.
we did our second
Yeah.
HLC retreat.
It was right around the corner from there. It was very
Yeah.
convenient.
Nice. No, that's
Yeah.
exciting. I know it's going to be a huge success for you. You're going to help a lot of people. So, how can people get in touch with you?
So the clinic is going to be called Stills Health Center, but everything right now is just drstills, drstills.com. That's my website, and you can find us there till we build our new website, but it'll all link over. But yeah, Arizona is a great place, especially as a naturopathic physician, to practice because we have a very full scope, so we can really go in and do what we need to do for a patient. So it's the wild, wild west here.
In a good way, right?
In a good way,
In a good
yes.
way, yeah. Yeah, less a little bit less restriction, which is, I mean, Dr. Lodi has a clinic there in Arizona, and the American Medical Association was voting on stopping the naturopath. You probably know about that. This was, I think, last year, like stopping the naturopathic board licensing, and then the AMA like taking it over. Thankfully, I don't think it passed.
It didn't, yeah.
That was crazy. I was like, the AMA coming in to try and take over the naturopathic licensing was, it just seemed insane. And I know that was, they were trying to do it in Arizona. Thankfully, it didn't pass.
Now there's a lot of us out here, and even I mean within my field, I mean you really got to do your due diligence because unfortunately I mean, I went to a naturopathic medical school in the late 90s, but as time goes on, it's definitely become more green allopathic, and a lot of naturopaths are handing out antibiotics like candy. And
Jeez.
again, they're not thinking it through. Like, yes, if you have a urinary tract infection, it's nice to take an antibiotic and have the pain go away in a day, but what about all the cell wall deficient forms you're causing? And now there's super bacteria, and now there's no cell wall on the bacteria. Now the immune system can't recognize it. And now these CWDs are burrowing into your tissues, and now you're growing autoimmune disease. And so we really have to think long term about the choices we make. And so, unfortunately, my profession has not gone in the direction. Correct direction. They were mandating vaccines for students. So that there are good naturopaths out there, but I used to feel very confident just saying, go find a naturopath and you're going to be in good hands. And now you have to do a little bit of your homework because
Yeah.
you want to find someone who really believes and understands that the body has the power to heal itself. Often we just got to get out of the
The
way.
body's got the power. We got the power. I got the power. You got the power. Oh, that's it. It's a song we sing at Unity Church on Sundays.
I
For UTIs, by the way, urinary tract infections, I have heard from people that urine therapy is actually absolutely, I know doctors that swear by it 100%, say for UTI, I will prescribe this for patients 100% of the time and it works. So.
Yeah, if you can get the patient to do it, if not, there's always some strong allicin and some homeopathy, and there's other things that are pretty surefire that work well. But yeah, definitely, like we said, urine therapy, great, great tool. Just got to get over the mental block, and then you can get the benefits.
Right. All right, Sharon, thank you so much, Dr. Steels, for coming on. Awesome to see you. And
You too.
website is drsteels.com. Go check out all the goodness that she's up to. And yeah, look forward to seeing you in April too.
I know. I was like, I booked it. That's when we have our retreat. And I was like, oh my gosh, because I don't know exactly when our opening day is going to be. But I'm like, you know what? No matter what it's going to be, I'm going to need some time with my family in
Yeah.
Mexico and get some good nurturing and some good time. So, I practice what I preach. We have to heal ourselves as well as others.
It's so true. It's so true. All right. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening,
but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. It's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul, soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. Mm. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.